Please be seated. A blazing face, dazzling white clothes, ghosts of time past. When you hear those words, you know it's almost Lent. Peter, who has just been called the Rock, is falling all over himself, looking for something to do. The story of the transfiguration of Jesus comes every year at the end of Epiphany, and truthfully, it's in a way what the whole season of Epiphany points toward. Just before this, the beginning of Lent each year, the church goes mountain climbing. And at that mountain height, we again get to see who Jesus really is. And the season of Epiphany then ends as it began, with bright light and this pleased voice from heaven. But this ending of Epiphany, it also points to something else, because this really is an Easter tale. It's a foretaste. It's a preview of what's going to come at the end of Lent, a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. And my question for all of us this morning is, so what? So what? We can't place ourselves in this story. It is all so otherworldly, so cosmic, and so difficult to imagine, much less believe. And it's a hard sermon to preach because it's such a weird story. And as I sat down this week, literally for the 11th time, trying to think of something new to say about the Transfiguration, I struggled. And I also wish this had been Father Tom's Sunday to preach. But I also realized something very important about myself. I realized that I'm just tired. And maybe I'm tired for good reason, because the past few months have been kind of a whirlwind. It seems like just yesterday was Thanksgiving, and that turned into Christmas, and then the day of Epiphany, and some team other than mine won a national championship. And then the new church year began with a bang. Our Wednesday evening services and programs, we've revamped our Sunday morning worship, an annual meeting, confirmation classes, the bishop's visit, being part of the bishop's search committee, coordinating Fresh Start for the diocesan convention, and now it's about to be Lent. And that's not to mention the school accreditation, which begins in a week, my daughter's wedding the weekend after Easter, followed by a 10-day Credo conference, school graduations, and a family reunion here hosted by us. One of my best friends called this week to tell me that his mother had died, and they wanted me to do the memorial service. And between now and June, there were literally only two possible dates that I could do that. And that's a little daunting. And it's not a complaint, despite how much it sounds like I'm whining. It's really not a complaint. It's just a little overwhelming. This is my job, my vocation, my avocation, and I love it. But it seems like this is just a time of busy, busy. Get to work. Plans to be made. Produce. Achieve. And it's just overwhelming to be so overscheduled. But everyone here knows that those things aren't limited just to the work of a priest. You understand, because they are built into the very fabric of our culture, even our religion. And as a result, all of us get tired from time to time, having bought into this myth of identity based on accomplishment. And that's where this year I found myself in the story of the Transfiguration. Here we have our good friends Peter, James, and John witnessing the unimaginable. Jesus, their friend, is being inducted into the Faith Heroes Hall of Fame. Moses is there. Elijah's there, is there too. But it's Peter, of course Peter, who takes the bull by the horn. Overwhelmed and awed by the whole thing, Peter does what any of us would do. He wants to save the moment. He wants to savor the moment. He doesn't want it to end. But that's going to take some work. We need to get busy. Let's build something. Come on, James and John. Don't just sit there with your mouths hanging open. We need to get to work. We probably didn't think to bring hammer, nails, and lumber up the mountain, but we ought to build something. We ought to build some dwellings here if we're going to stick around. And we sort of understand that part, don't we? Because doing is who we are. Peter's doing just what comes naturally. But God's voice from heaven interrupts his babbling with a reminder. Peter, shut up. Hush. This is my son, my beloved. Just listen. Just listen. Quit talking and doing, and for once in your life, just pay attention and listen. And for me, that's as important a message as any other when it comes to the story of the Transfiguration. We talk a lot about following Jesus being about what we do, or at least you hear it from me a lot. There's service, there's ministry, there's outreach, there's fellowship, there's all the things we do. Go, go, do, do. But what we do is a response. It's not a condition for our identity as God's precious children. Because God's favor is a gift. It is pure grace, free and undeserved. But we seem to have forgotten, or maybe we never even knew, that as important as it is to respond to God's grace, it's equally important just to be. Just to be in God's grace. And that is not natural. It's not natural for us because we're doers and goers for all different kinds of reasons. Sometimes I think that simply we need the affirmation that we receive for what we do. Sometimes I'm afraid that we feel we need to justify ourselves or to impress others with our work. But sometimes, and here's the hard one, sometimes I think some of us are afraid that if we ever let up, get quiet, and just listen for God, we just might have to deal with what God has to say. And that might not be what we want to hear, what we had planned, and it might call us out of our own comfort zones. And I think it's not that we're afraid that in that stillness that God won't speak to us. I think we're afraid he might. And without that being, without that balance in our lives, we miss out. Just like Peter, unless we stop our doing from time to time, we miss out on those glimpses of heaven that are right before our eyes. On Wednesday night, I reminded the group that was gathered here of a scene from one of my favorite movies, Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner. Costner plays Ray Kinsella, an Iowa farmer who hears a voice that says, "If you build it, they will come." Ray doesn't understand the voice, and he doesn't understand why he begins to do what he does. But Ray begins to plow under his very best cornfield to build a baseball diamond. The field begins to be visited by the ghosts of frustrated and notorious baseball players, but most importantly, the field is visited by the ghost of Ray's father, John, with whom Ray had a conflicted relationship. And in a very poignant scene, Ray and John begin to play catch. "Is this heaven?" John says. "No, it's Iowa," Ray replies. "Iowa. I could have sworn it was heaven," John says as he begins to walk away. "Is there a heaven?" Ray asks. "Oh yeah," John says. "It's the place where dreams come true." And Ray looks around and he sees his wife playing with their daughter on the front porch. He says, "Maybe this is heaven." Folks, we all know that there are times and places when all the pieces come together, when all the cosmic tumblers click into place, and the universe opens itself up for just a few seconds to show us what's possible, to show us what can be. It is those times and places that touch us and where God's presence among us is made most clear. And it is there, in God's presence, where you and I catch a glimpse of heaven. Not as some vague concept of future hope, but as an inheritance. As an inheritance of Christ's presence among us right now, this day, this moment, as we realize that now is all we really have. But to experience those moments, we have to heed that warning to Peter, to hush, to stop talking, stop doing, and just for once in our lives, pay attention and listen. I've decided that somehow that's going to be my Lenten discipline this year. And the only way I know to accomplish that is not to take the time to be in the stillness of God, but to make the time. To make the time, to make it a priority, to make it just as important as anything on my already overbooked calendar. Might be a good exercise for all of us. At its very core, the story of the Transfiguration is a message of Christ's presence among us and those thin places between now and forever. And this story calls us to open ourselves to that presence. And there we'll find heaven right now, this day, this very moment. And that journey with Christ reminds us that there are mountaintops and valleys along the way where, with just a little stillness and a lot of listening, we find ourselves gifted by those times and places where our worth is not the same as our usefulness, where what we do is formed by God's graciousness, where we live into our God-created identities as blessed, as salt for the earth and light for the world, that place where dreams really can come true. God love you. Amen.